This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Ma yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa ma yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Today's lecture deals with when Musa عليه السلام met his teacher, whose name he didn't even know. You probably know what the lecture is about. It deals with Surah Kahf from verse 59 onwards. And I always say to you, you know, go check up on these verses so that when you check up on the verses, you will remember the lecture and so you can make your notes, inshallah. I'm not going to do all the, quote, all the ayat. We're running late, 10 minutes late already. So inshallah, on that basis, I'll do this lecture, inshallah. Now, Musa is the most named prophet in the Quran. Musa's name is mentioned about 25 times. Where the prophet's name is mentioned how many times? 3 times. Prophet's name is mentioned 3 times. Musa's name is mentioned 25 times. So if the Jews tell you that, you know, the Quran doesn't speak about Musa, then you tell them, our Quran speaks 25 times about Musa, alayhi salam, and only 3 times about Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, he spoke to Allah. So he's a big prophet. He was one of the great, Ulul Azm, one of the 5 great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the mountain, bila hijab. Allah spoke to him and he answered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One would say he had a very personal relationship then with Allah. If you speak to somebody personally, one-to-one, then you have a personal relationship. He was a great prophet, mashallah. Imbued with a lot of knowledge. The Torah was the biggest book Allah ever revealed to mankind. Ever. And so his job was, he spoke to Allah, he spoke to the Israeliyat, to the Bani Israel, and thirdly, he was challenging Fir'aun. So he was quite a man. I mean, you know, he killed somebody out of anger and out of strength. He gave the guy one punch and the guy was gone. But be that as it may, so this is the Musa that we know, great prophet, one of the 5 greatest prophets. Allah spoke to him. He spoke to the Bani Israel, got them out of bondage, out of Egypt, out of bondage, took them over the Red Sea, so forth and so on. And he challenged their own with every turn. But when Allah said to him the day that now, today, for the first time, he must go challenge their own, what did he say? What did Musa say? He said that despite his size and despite that he was probably the prophet who received the biggest book, when Allah said to him, Musa, today, to cross the Red Sea, go across and speak to Fir'aun. What did he say to Allah? Not in don't quote the Quran, but what did he say in your own words? He said, I have nothing. I'm not going to go to you. I don't have anything. Fir'aun has got the biggest army in that time in the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't worry. See that stick in your hand? Throw the stick. So he threw the stick and the stick became a snake. Allah said, now pick it up. He was scared to pick it up because, it's a snake. He picked it up, it was a stick again. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, don't worry. I'll send Harun with you. He said, he tried to make an excuse. He said, Ya Allah, you know, my tongue, I lisp, I've got a lisp, you know. So maybe Fir'aun won't understand me. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't worry, I'll send a spokesman with you. I'll send Harun with you, your brother Harun. He'll go with you. So eventually what does it show? He's an ordinary human being. He was a human being. Although all the strength that he has, he's still a human being. He will remain a human being. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the greatest of them all. He was a human being. And so everybody else, Isa, everybody else. So these are the very public functions that Musa had. And This story, that is of course in Surah Kahf, which is the which surah in the whole Quran? 18th surah. This is the 18th surah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا. That's the last verse of the Quran. I love that verse. So about Surah Kahf, there are four stories in Surah Kahf. We're not going to go to all the four stories. We're just going to concentrate on one story. This story deals with knowledge and patience. Knowledge and patience. And we don't exactly know when this particular story took place. We don't know. There are people who say, yes, Musa came down to Cape Town and he came here where the seas meet. And this is where he was, where the seas meet. That is so ridiculous. I mean, and people actually believe that. People actually believe. They take people on tours to see the Karamat and they take them there and they say, yes, Musa and Musa met Khidr. And this is also the junction of the Atlantic Ocean and which ocean? Indian Ocean. You know, of course, where's the junction? Where's the junction? Cape Agulhas. MashaAllah. Barakallahu fi. Cape Agulhas. But you know, it's like, yes, Ibrahim. It's like everything else in our community, everything else in every community. We thrive on stories. We thrive on custom. We thrive on these things. It's like we eat it. It's like if we don't have custom, and we don't have customary things, don't have kusistas on a Sunday morning, then we are in a bad mood the whole week. I'm not saying it's not actually like that. If we don't have three nights, then we say, what is wrong with us? Where are we going? What is going to happen? Etc. If we don't have all the bid'ahs that we practice, then people look at us, even those who know it's a bid'ah, they also feel, we're missing out. That is what custom does to you. That is what 300 years of custom do to you, do to us, me included. Until we see the truth, and then we say, my God, I've done this all my life. And this is nothing to do with Islam. And I could only have discovered that if I could read Arabic and read the Arabic books. I mean, I could never have known that. I've still been carrying on with all the bid'ahs that I was practicing in the past. So knowledge is the biggest liberator of man. And the Bible says, what does the Bible say? The truth shall set you free. Rabbi Isa said, the truth shall set you free. When you have the truth, you're a free man. Don't depend on anybody else because you know the truth. You studied the truth. You read the truth. All right. So we know then, what we know is that he met, we'll say Khidr. He met Khidr after he crossed the Red Sea. So he was on the other side. He was on the what peninsula? The Arabian Peninsula. So how he got from the Arabian Peninsula to Cape Town is a mystery to me because he would have had to cross a sea and get back to Africa. But be that as it may. So, his name is not Khidr. Why not? Because Allah did not mention his name in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make a point. You don't have to know a man's name to learn from him. You don't have to know a man's name to learn. You can learn from anybody. Everybody is your teacher. If he teaches you something, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if a man teaches you one harf, then he becomes your teacher. One harf, he becomes your teacher. So, he was also a doubter. He doubted everything. He spoke to Allah, but he said to Allah, but you know what? I know we spoke, we had a conversation. But I want to see you, please. قَالَ أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. He said, oh Allah, I would like to see you. But it's not part of the lecture, but I'm just telling you. That's how he was. And Allah said to him, but Musa, aren't you content that you know me? You've spoken to me? That I'm your ilah? Musa said, you know, it'll make my heart very content. You just show me yourself, just what. So these scams on the thing, on the what's his name? You know, scams, women, men scams, you know. And then she says, but, you know, I just want to see you once. Then he says, you know, I'm in Mauritius now. And, you know, from here, I'm going to France. But you transfer the money. You heard of this? You know, transfer the money. It's okay, darling. You know, I'm getting married to you, you know, in December. You know, such a time. And December comes and they say, you know, I'm now in Russia. I'm just putting a big oil thing here, you know. Costs billions and billions of rand. And Shane, eventually, you know, he's got a pension. He's got a salary. He's got everything. The whole life has been taken away from Paul. So please be aware of that. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to him? You will never see me, Musa. But look at the mountain. Look at the mountain. When he looked at the mountain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a small ray of Allah's light onto the mountain, and he fell and he was unconscious. And when he woke up, he said, what did he say? SubhanAllah, glorified. He says, Allah, if that is just one ray of your nur, if you had, he thought to himself, I'd seen Allah would have been dust. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Bani Israel. If this was the prophet of the Jews, then Allah also describes the Jews. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Jews as the Bani Israel, children of Israel. And they are known as Akhbar. Akhbar means the intelligent people, the people of knowledge. And isn't that so true today? So true today. I mean, if I read all the, you know, a lot of discoveries, you see Haifa, then you know this is a Jew. Haifa University, this is a Jew. They invented this and they invented that and they invented that. So they still have the monopoly, not only of money, also of knowledge. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give them. What didn't Allah give them? Hidayah. They didn't get Hidayah. They got everything but not Hidayah. SubhanAllah. We got Hidayah, which is the best thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have given to us. So in this story, for the story, he is not the teacher. He's the student. Everywhere else he was the teacher. Now he becomes a student. Allah changes his status from teacher to student. It's a difficult thing for a teacher to suddenly become a student, or for a student to become a teacher, not so bad. So at the time when Allah made him a student, he thought that he was the most learned man on planet Earth. Because he was the prophet. He was Musa alayhi salam. Allah spoke to him. Allah said to him, how could there be somebody else more knowledgeable than him? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show him that don't be proud of the knowledge which you have and the books that you have. Because I'm now going to make you a student. Allah tells him, Musa, there's somebody more knowledgeable than you. And you have to learn from that person. So despite Musa's vast and superior knowledge, we don't even know the name of his teacher. SubhanAllah. Knowledge is so great and so powerful and so wonderful that you don't have to know the teacher's name. You just have to listen to what he says to you. Khidr Hadr. Yes. It's just a name some of the Mufassirun are given to him just for him to have a name. Because they couldn't, you know, you couldn't refer to all the time to the man that Tami Musa met on the other side of the Red Sea and explained, you know. So Allah SWT even wanted to take that out of the equation. Just to focus on his knowledge. Not on him. Because his name would have made him a person that we would all know. So we don't even know the person. All we know about him is his knowledge. SubhanAllah. And how did Allah describe, let's use the name Khidr. How did Allah describe Khidr in the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. And they found, who's the two that found Khidr? Who's the two? Allah says two people found Khidr. Who was the other one? Huh? No. Nephilim eunuch was with him?
No.
Okay.
The question was asked.
Okay. No, but Khidr had somebody with him. I mean, Musa had somebody with him. Who was it?
A boy.
Yeah, a little boy. I don't know. That's not mentioned in the Quran. No, that's not mentioned. The name of the boy and name of Khidr is not mentioned in the Quran. But we know Fawajada, Allah said Fawajada. This alif at the end, then it refers to two people. Fawajada Abdan, two of them met Allah. How does Allah describe Khidr? A slave. A slave. Min ibadina. But not an ordinary slave. He was a slave of who? Slave of Allah. Not just that. He was a slave of Abdullah. What did Isa say in the cradle? When the Jews came to look at him and his mother said, where is? What did he say? He spoke. Inni Abdullah. Inni Abdullah. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abdullah, a slave of Allah. And this describes every student. Every student of whatever faculty of science or other knowledge are all, if they recognize that knowledge comes from Allah, they're all Abdullah. So we all Ibadullah. Ibad is the plural. That is, Ibadullah is all of us. Abdullah is one person. And this is the highest form of freedom. We know that. The highest form of freedom and liberation is to be known as Abdullah, the slave of Allah. Because who is the slave of Allah? The slave of Allah is the one who teaches knowledge and learns knowledge. And mainly the knowledge of what? Of Islam. We can know all. Allah doesn't want to ask you, Faik, you're an advocate or you're a lawyer, tell me about the law of inheritance according to South African law. He's not going to ask me, you know, you were an engineer, so, you know, or you were a pilot, you know, tell me how you flew the... Allah's going to ask you about your relationship with your fellow man. That's first. And Allah's going to ask you about salah. أَوَّلَ مَا يُحَاسِبُ عَلَيْهِ الْعَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ And at 50 degrees. But the first question Allah's going to ask you is what? On top of your list will be salah. In saluhat, 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 amali. And the Prophet says, if you pass the law of salah, alas, you passed the big stage. In other words, you're going to go to Jannah. If you pass the law of, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got you as 51%, I'm just saying myself, I don't say it's going to be like that. But I assume that if you pass it by 51%, and maybe all your sunnah salahs will make it 100%, as the Prophet ﷺ said, then you can smile. Because Allah will then forgive you zakah, maybe. I'm not saying now don't give zakah if you make salah. I am just saying that is أول ما يحاسب على العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. The Prophet ﷺ said, the first thing Allah will ask you on the day of Qiyamah will be salah. If you pass the test of salah, all the balance of what you did, you will pass. All the other tests, you will pass. If you fail the test of salah, all the other tests, you will fail. May Allah make us of those who will pass the test, inshallah. Even if we start today. Even if we start today, you make niyyah today, ya Allah, I'm not going to miss salah. SubhanAllah. I give my zakah, I've been for hajj, I've been for umrah. I fast in the month of Ramadan. But, you know, I'm a bit lax on the salah. But I've heard the hadith, and inshallah, because that's the key. So, this story teaches us then what knowledge and learning means in deen, in the deen of Islam, particularly for us. There's a great sheikh, Sheikh Waliullah al-Dahlawi. He's from the subcontinent. I've read quite a few of his books, mashallah. He said something very profound. He said something. What is his name? Sheikh Shah Waliullah Al-Dahlawi. He described somebody who has knowledge, true knowledge. He described somebody who has true knowledge. He gives the description of somebody who has true knowledge. True knowledge. He says, when a tree bears fruit, look at the beauty of the, what is the word? The wisdom. You always refer to wisdom. He says, if a wise man says something, he says, a tree, when it bears fruit, what happens to the branches? When a tree is full of fruit, what happens to the branches? When a tree is full of fruit, it can't, the branches can't stay up there. The branches come down. And he says, when you have true knowledge, what happens to you? You lower yourself to others. You become humble. You are like the tree that droops, branches droop. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us inshallah. Even if we have a little knowledge, that we become humble with the little knowledge that we have, because we know that the little is zero. The little I have is so little that I would consider it to be zero. And Allah describes the knowledge that we have. It's not that, yes, I have a lot of knowledge, but because I want to keep myself humble, so I say, no. Allah says how much knowledge we have. Allah says, وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. I have not given you knowledge except a little bit. قَلِيل means, if the Arab says قَلِيل, then it really means, he says, wait, قَلِيل. He doesn't mean, his meaning is different. He means 3 hours. But قَلِيل actually means very little. So, very little, we have very little. So, look how beautiful he says. So, a man with knowledge, whatever knowledge you have, not only knowledge, if you're a medical man, if you're a doctor, be humble. So, that was Musa was still thinking that he was the man. He was a prophet. Couldn't think anything out. He wasn't trying to be bombastic, or he wasn't trying to show off. No, he was chosen by Allah to be Allah's prophet, one of the great prophets. So he has some right to think that he is, in his time, he was the chosen man. And obviously he was a human being, so he thought, well, you know, that was me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Musa came to Hidr and he said to Hidr, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. He said to Hidr, probably watch Hidr, maybe he was there in the crowd. He saw Hidr, and he said to Hidr, can I follow you? Can I just go with you so that you teach me something that you have been taught? So he shows humility. He saw something, saw this man, looked into this man's face and said, no, this man can teach me something. He said to in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. So the first thing Hidr said to him was what? Hidr said to him, excuse me? You want to learn from me? I can imagine our conversation when I'm just, you know, maybe it didn't go like this, maybe. But I'm thinking, Hidr sees this man. Who are you? I mean, he doesn't know Musa. Maybe he knew. Maybe Allah imbued him with the knowledge that this man is Musa, is going to come to you. This is how you should treat him. Or maybe he didn't know. So what did Hidr say to him? Oh, Musa, man, you don't qualify to be my student. Sorry, man. You don't have the credentials to be my student. Now Hidr is on the high horse. Now Musa standing down and Hidr is saying to him, man, you know, you just don't have. So Musa must have asked him, what do you mean qualifications. What do you mean? So he said, man, you don't look like a man with sabr. Sabr is the first qualification. The first thing any person needs is to come sit like this on a Sunday morning in a class. That is what it is about. Not to sit at home by the TV and watch somebody speaking there. No. To get out of your bed at 11:30 like you did this morning, because it was cold. And her wife was saying, where are you going? Look at the TV. He's on the TV also. You know. Don't go. Why don't you go to the masjid? And you say to her, knowledge mustn't come to you. You must go to knowledge. All right. So Huda said, you just don't have it. I can see in your face, man. You just don't have any patience. إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِعْ مَعْيَ صَبْرًا. He said to Musa, you don't have it. I can see you don't have this. I don't think he knew who Musa was. Otherwise, he wouldn't have spoken like this to Prophet Muhammad. You don't have patience. This is too tough for you. This is too tough for you. So Musa thought to himself, I won't be able to handle. What do you mean? He didn't say this, but he thought, what do you mean? I was tough enough to confront Fir'aun. I crossed the Red Sea. I saved the Israelites from being oppressed by Fir'aun. This man is telling me, I don't have patience. Subhanallah. So, the man without a name, this is the man without the name, says this to him. One of the five greatest prophets that Allah ever has said. What was Musa's reaction? This is important. This man with no name is like pick and pay. It's like a no-name brand thing. And Mr. Ackerman comes to you and says, this is the best on the market. And, you know, I manufacture this from XYZW, and this is going to give you more strength, et cetera, et cetera. But you look at Mr. Ackerman and say, but you didn't give it a name even. I mean, what kind of businessman are you? I mean, you sell a product without a name. So Musa said to him, Satajiduni insha'Allah sabir. Musa said to him, inshallah. Like we said, inshallah. He said, inshallah. Satajiduni, you will find me patient. I will be patient. Musa didn't say, excuse me, sir. He didn't say that. He didn't say, excuse me. But I'm Sheikh so-and-so, Maulana so-and-so, and Alim so-and-so, Doctor so-and-so. No. Musa said, excuse me. This is what Musa thought to himself. So, you know, I'm telling you that I'll be patient and you're just looking at me, just staring at me. You want me to show you my resume? I mean, Musa thought to himself. You want my resume of my sabr experiences. You want me to tell you how I confronted Fir'aun and how I crossed the Red Sea, how it opened for me, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He doesn't say that. He says, if Allah wills, I will be patient. He still showed that Iman came through. He knew he was a prophet. He knew he had done all that. But he was still humble in front of this man. So Musa said to him, you know, I have a track record of sabr, but I'm not going to explain to you. I've come from sabr, the highest sabr that any man could ever have gone through. I've gone through it. My life was at stake. So now I want to talk a little bit about knowledge and knowledge. There's knowledge of reality, knowledge of the real world. What we see around us, experiment on it, take books, we read it. Then it is knowledge that is not in real time and is not, you can't see it. The reality is what you can see. The real knowledge is what you can see, isn't it? And what you cannot see is what you cannot see that you don't know. If you read a newspaper, for example, you read the newspaper. But we all know, without even seeing it, that there is another side to the story. I mean, we've come to learn, those of us who are gray, we've come to learn. You pick up the newspaper and you read it. Yeah, this is not even half the story. This is just the other side of the story. The real story, and this public story is published, why? Because the Cape Times wants to be the top selling newspaper. That's why they have to mold the story in this fashion. Or this program on TV talks about, if you listen to Fox TV in the United States, that's Trump TV. They just shout about how great Trump is and he's the next, they even maybe call him a god. Then you get CNN, which is only, they're only against Trump. And ANC, they're only against Trump. I don't sit in front of the TV every day, but when I look, I see these things because I want to know. So I look at you, mashallah. Can I kufiya on, top on, mashallah. But I can't see those two angels sitting on your shoulder. Can't. That's beyond me. I can't. I haven't been given that. All of us. You look at me, you can't see. There's an angel here and an angel here, subhanAllah. So there's a reality we can see and the reality we can't see. I see him, he's a reality. But the angels on his shoulder, I can't see. When I look up on the night of Mi'raj, what do I see? What's the reality that I see? I see stars. What else do I see? I see the heaven. If it's raining, I see clouds. There's a plane going past and I can see, oh, there's the plane going past. But do I see the angels? Do I see the skies full with angels? They're jostling with each other to get down here, to come and greet us. Millions and maybe billions of angels. Do I see it? No. But I look up to do, because I believe. Because what? I believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the angels and Jibreel alayhi salam. That is the unseen reality. That is called what? What is the unseen? The ghaib, the ghaib. And where does the ghaib appear? In the Quran. Alif la mim. The first verse. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in what? In the unseen. The second verse. Allah mentions what? Today there's a group of people who tell us, ghaib, my peer, he can see the ghaib. Meet him. He'll tell you what's going to happen to you next year, tomorrow. How much money are you going to get? That's kufr. Why is it kufr? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says part of iman is الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen, tomorrow doesn't exist. How can you talk about tomorrow? How can anybody speak about tomorrow? Tomorrow doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. If it exists, show me. Where's tomorrow? Yesterday, I can tell you about yesterday. Tell you about last year. That's part of what? Part of the ghaib. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I know, but I don't know the ghaib. I don't know this special ayah in the Quran where Allah describes it. So, on the day of Qiyamah, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصُرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the curtain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal, will open the curtain that screens us from the ghaib. The ghaib will be plain to us. We will see the fire. We will see the Jannah. We will only see what we could never see when we were on the dunya. You won't see your mother and your father even if they're standing right in front of you. Why? You won't see your brother with his standing next to you, why? You won't see your sister. You won't see nobody. Why? Because you are only interested in what? In the reality which you've never seen. It's like you're sitting in Newlands. I've never been to Newlands, by the way. And the people are sitting in front of you, and your brother's sitting in front of you, and all your friends are sitting in the front row. You don't want to hear them. You don't want to see them. Where you want to look? You want to see where the ball is going. Isn't it? So Qiyamah will be the same. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ زَكَرٍ. Always get it wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ, the day when a person will run away from his mother, from his father, from his sister, from his brother, will run away from them. Because the reality will be, he's questioning about Allah. And they will all be naked. Everybody will be naked, but you will not see anybody's nakedness, because that doesn't interest you. Your eyes there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When is my turn? When is my turn? That is the unseen reality. So somebody comes to you and he says, you can speak to the person in the grave, he's kafir. I'm not even going to say anything less than that, because you're my students, I must tell you. That's kufr. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see what is happening. If there is a gold mine under the earth, you can't see it, but you can see a dead person in the grave, then they should take you to where the mines are. Why must they go dig? People die, they dig for gold because you can't see there. They have to go down 3 kilometers, 5 kilometers. You can just come in and say, sir, don't worry. You see, I've got a problem. See my beard? See my kutta? Go down. Just go down 5 meters. People say that. People do that. That's the reality of the irreality, I would say, of the life that we live in. But if you have solid knowledge that that's part of the ghaib, and only Allah knows the ghaib, you will say, okay, brother, salam alaikum. It's all right. So in life, when things happen to us, we don't know the reality of what is happening. We don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for us. We don't know. I earn 2,000 rand a month. My brother, my real brother, he earns 20,000 rand a month. My other brother, he earns 50,000 rand a month. My sister earns 100,000 rand. She's a professor at some university in Harvard or Oxford. She lived in USA. She earns tens of thousands of dollars, not even terrible rand that we have. So we question, why does he earn more money than me? Why did Allah give her that? Why is your brother taller than me? I'm the shortest in the family. Why is all my brothers white? But I'm black. What did I do? I did nothing. I wasn't even born. I wasn't even born yet and was already black. Isn't it? We ask all these questions. Why must I have cancer? And he hasn't got, or she hasn't got. Why do I don't have any children? My sister has 10 kids. You know, those are the questions we ask. We don't know. Even if somebody should come with an answer, even if a professor of women scientists come and say, you know, because your sister, etc., etc., etc. No, that's not the reason. We don't know why we were in a car accident, nobody else. There were 5 people in the car, I was the only one who was hurt. Or there were 5 people in the car, I was the only one who survived. The other 4 died. We don't know why we get sick. We don't know. And finally, when we come in and we say, why did Allah do this to me? And people say, why did Allah do this to me? Maybe we don't say it aloud, but we may say it to ourselves. Why? Because we lack what? We lack iman. We lack faith in the ghaib. And what do? We go and see the slim man. We go and see the slim man says, drink this. This is good. This could take your cancer away. I had an aunt who had cancer. And I was young. Young enough to understand everything in life. And this man used to come and give her knoflook water. What's knoflook? Garlic. That was his remedy for cancer. Garlic. And I knew it was a... And every time he came, he wanted to some money. And say, my, you know, my auntie swallowed that. Whenever she swallowed it, it was like going through more cancer. But at the time, I thought, wow, there must be something in this. He sits there by a bed, and he keeps her this. And his lips move, but you can't, you don't know what he's saying. But his lips move all the time, and then afterwards, then my auntie goes under the cushion, takes the money out, and she gives it to him. And he quickly leaves. Doesn't stay for, he just leaves. So now I realize what it was. It was lack of faith. Lack of iman. And you should give yourself over to Allah. You falter. Because that's when Allah looks at you and says, but now, no fight, now what are you going to do now? Who are you going to turn to? You going to turn to me? Or are you going to turn to somebody else? Of course, if you turn to a doctor, I mean, that's understood. So on that day, Allah will remove the curtain a little bit and we'll see the bigger picture. And there's always an explanation. That day, Allah will explain to you. This is why I did this. That is why you got that. That is why only, you lived only till 15 and you, or till 20 and you died. This is why you lived till 90. This, Allah will explain to you. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ. Allah says in the Quran, now in the dunya, nobody will know the ghaib. Not even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will know the ghaib. Never mind the sheikh or the mufti or the murshid or whatever they call it. And Allah says, you will not know the ghaib in the dunya. Nobody will know. So that was the special knowledge, a bit of the ghaib Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to. Little bit. What was the little bit? That was the special mercy that Allah imbued him with. He doesn't give that to anybody. He didn't even give it to Musa. But this was a lesson for Musa alayhi salam in terms of understanding that you are never the cleverest person on the earth, no matter who you are. There's always somebody more clever than you and more clever than that person. And so it goes on. So eventually, Khidr said to Musa, oh Musa, I told you you can't handle this. Because every time he asked questions, right? Every time you ask a man, so why did you kill this little boy? So why did you put big holes in the ships of these people? And every time Khidr had to tell him, what is the third one? And why did you build the wall? The wall was falling over and these people here, didn't, we asked him for food, they didn't give us anything to eat and now you build the wall. You're a strange man, Khidr. Do strange things. So, in this scenario of what we can see and what we can't see, and things happen to us every day. Today I'm a millionaire, tomorrow I've got nothing. Today I've got nothing, tomorrow I'm a millionaire. And we think these are, you know, because I did this. No. Or I did that. No. We must always understand that our lives have been planned by Allah billions and trillions of years ago. Before He created anything, He created us. And before there was anything on the dunya, there was nothing on the dunya, He sent us down to. So if we have, and I always use the income that we have, if we have a certain income in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith Qudsi, I said last week or something, to repeat it, the hadith, Allah says, oh my servant, ya abdi, Allah addresses us like that. Yeah, in hadith Qudsi, Allah says, ya abdi, oh my servant. If you are not satisfied with your salary, or if you're not satisfied with your income, what will Allah do? Allah says, I will make you run around this dunya like you ate awesome. You will run around and run around and run around. And at the end of all those years of running around, you will get exactly the same money that I had written for you before I created the universe. So Allah says, take it easy. Don't make yourself tired for this dunya. No. Your rizq has been put out for you. Now we will say, Ya Allah, if I sit at home the whole day, even if you sit at home the whole day, try it and see. Even if you sit at home, your rizq knows your phone number. Your rizq knows your address, the number of your house, the name of your house. And if your rizq has to come to you, it will come to your door. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants somebody to put money in, even by mistake, everything is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. I'll tell you a story. I was in Egypt. I was studying there. My wife was with me. And I had my first baby there. And I was living in a flat, maybe 10 meters square, in a city called Sayyida Zainab. Do us a favor, when you go to Egypt, go to Sayyida Zainab. It looks like Manenberg, but it's very safe. Of course, Egypt 50 years ago was very safe. So the war broke out in Egypt. Egyptians crossed the Suez Canal, and there was no post coming through. So I got my stipend every month via a bank transfer, from a bank. That paper has first to go to New York because it's in dollars. New York, because South Africa didn't have connections with anybody, especially with Egypt. From New York, they must say this is a genuine, what do they call this paper? Bank draft. That's it, a bank draft. Then I wait about a month for the bank draft to come back to Cairo, and then they will put the money in my account. So 2 months, no money came. 1 month was Ramadan. The last month was Ramadan. So at the end of Ramadan, I said to my wife, you know, husband always gives a blink and boo. I mean, husband always says, no, well, darling, don't worry. So the night before Eid, I'm sitting there. And I said to my wife, you know what? This is all I have for tomorrow. Equivalent of about maximum 20 cents. This is all I have for tomorrow. Tomorrow is what? Tomorrow is Eid. Now you know what it's like, you know, when it's Eid in a foreign country, not in your own country, what do you think of? You think about what's happening. And your people didn't know. Your mother and your father doesn't know what's going on. So I said to you, it's bloody. He still plays hoppy fee and they're doing the cookies and they're doing this and then there's this and the house smells of paint. Because that for me was Labara. When you smell paint, for me, that's a special kind of paint. What is that paint? They painted the back, they put fat in it. They paint only the outside of the house. Like, what do they call it? The name for it? They cook it. It boils in a big thing. Anyway, so we now discussing. So while we're talking, both of us start crying. So I said, no. I said, no. Not time for crying. Take up dust. Take up dust. I took up dust. Say, make Torah Kasuna. So we're alone here, and we can't ask anybody because we don't know anybody. Make Torah Kasu. So we're sitting and talking. There's a knock on the door. I mean, the Majid of Allah, so whatever I'm going to tell you is absolute truth. So there's a knock on the door. So I'm thinking, nobody's ever knocked on this door. We stayed 2 years here already. Nobody's knocked on the door. Who is this knock on the door? Open the door. Maulana Abdul Razak. No, Maulana Abdul Razak. Maulana Abdul Razak used to come to Cape Town to lecture. He's from Pietermaritzburg. Lovely man. I met him about twice. He was a lecturer at the Azhar. I thought, wow. He said, he's of course come inside, sit down. So I thought to myself, this man has never been here before. How did he get here? I mean, this thing is stuck away, like, you know, like in, you know, the council, I was stuck away right at the end of the council. But how did this man get here? Anyway, sits down, I give him some tea, all I have. He talks about this, talks about that. And then afterwards he gets up and he says, leaving. I says, okay. So I had a little study next to my front door. There's a little study. So he goes in there. Study. He's never been there before. He goes. He comes out of the study. So I stand with him. So he leaves. So I go in the study afterwards. See this envelope on my desk. Wow. Open the envelope. It's £20 in the envelope. Wow. Now my rental was £20. My rental, the papers. It tells you how much £20 meant in those days. But you can imagine how I felt. You know, you can imagine how I felt about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thought, but this could nobody else. This could only be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him. First of all, to come on Eid night. People don't have time for things like this on Eid night. And he left money. And he didn't give it to me. He just put it there. Subhanallah. So we don't know. We don't know anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. I mean, how many people haven't told me, you know, Sheikh, I had cancer? Cancer's gone. No, cancer's gone. How? The doctors don't know. I don't know. It's gone. They tested me. Gone. Don't have it anymore. Subhanallah. What do you think of? You think of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything. So, don't worry, we're going to be 5 minutes over. But we'll be in time for the Salah. We're in time for the Salah. I just want to finish. Take me 5 minutes. So we should be more tolerant when we see things that we don't like or see things, people do wrong things. We don't know what that person is going through. We don't know the plans that Allah has for that person. So we should, yes, I'm not saying if people do things wrong, don't say something. But you must think carefully before you say and what you say. Because that may not be a test for that person. That may be a test for you. Maybe Allah's testing you. Allah's putting that in front of you, that this person is doing something in front of you or saying something in front of you to test you. It's like when you give charity to a person at the robots. It's not about that person that you're giving it to. It's not about the dress of the person, whether the person is drunk, whether the person hasn't washed for years, whether the person doesn't even greet you when you open your window. It's not about him. He's only getting what you're going to give him. That's all. And if you don't give him anything, he's going to get nothing. But you, mister, who's sitting in the car and you have to give. If you have 5 rand to give or 2 rand to give or whatever you scratch out in your pocket to give that person, Allah that sadaqah first goes to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks after that sadaqah until it grows into a massive mountain. So who's winning here? Who's winning? You're winning. It's about you. You should grab the opportunity. Keep money in your car. Every time I want to give it 2 rand to somebody, doesn't matter who it is, because Allah doesn't look at the person you're giving it to. Allah looks at the giver. The person you're giving it to, he gets it. That's what he gets. That's it. He gets no balloon. There's no ballooning for you. The only ballooning he gets is Muhammad gave him 5 rand. And if it's just you and him, there's nobody else in the car, but just you and him, nobody else, and you should smile because now you have a secret between you and Allah. Two things. You have a secret. If someone knocks on the door at home and you're alone at home, your husband isn't there, or your wife isn't there, and you give You say, well, my wife isn't here today. You know, my wife always says, don't give that. Today I'm going to give. Because today nobody knows. I say, I used to come and check it together, but I can't. It's fine. Or if I say, hey, it's girl, hey, he's to come, it's fine. But he doesn't know who I gave it to, he doesn't know when I gave it. Secret between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's got nothing to do with the man at the gate. Hey, it's a lorry full, a trolley full, what? Carry bags. Nothing to do with you. Huh? What he's got is nothing to do with you. And whether he looks fat, it's nothing to do with you. Whether he's got a kufiya on and the top on his stand to catch you, it's nothing to do with you. Or that person comes to you every day. That is your test. Allah sends that person to you every day. The others come once a week, but that person comes every day. That's a test. Because you come to Allah every day. So Allah says, I'm going to send somebody to you every day. Like you ask me every day, Allahumma arzuqni, Allahumma arzuqni, Allahumma arzuqni. Halal and tayyibah, rizq. You don't really ask for rizq. You ask for rizq is pure and clean, all those things. But the things you give to the people is not pure and clean. Maybe it's 2 days old or 3 days old. But okay, it's put in the fridge. It's fine. You warm it up first and give it to them. But can you see how important you are? And now Allah SWT looks at you. And when you have a chance to give, where there's nobody around, that's your chance. That's like going to score a try. There's nobody in front of you. Subhanallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those, inshallah. So there's no perfection in this dunya. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. And we've learned today the importance of knowledge. And we've learned today that if you have knowledge, what you have is very little. Very little. And if you try and share it as much as you can. Any questions? Just I can take how many questions? What time is Adhan? Because the people are standing at the gates now. They're just waiting now to come. No, mashallah. Yes, no? Yes. Yeah, I was thinking of you last night. I'll tell you the answer, but I'll also explain to the crowd, but it's going to take a bit of time. Yeah. The question of if you're up with something and they've stitched it and they put a bandage on it and you have to take a bath, what do you do with that? Because remember, the fault of ghusl is what? What is the fault of ghusl? It's one fault. So it's one fault. What is it? Ya yaltaq, first of the last two. I know how it goes. You must cover your whole body with water. How you do it? Would you jump into the sea with your feet first? And you say, this is my ghusl? Alhamdulillah, you have completed the fault of ghusl. You stand under the shower and the water runs down on you once only, right down to your toes, and you close the tap. You have done the fault of the ghusl. Okay, so which means that if there's something on your skin, anyway, it's part of the fault. If you don't do that piece, then you haven't completed the fault of ghusl. Same with wudu. Wudu has got fault. What is the fault of wudu? Water, water, water. Isn't it? But if there's a plaster on it or you broke your arm, then you take tayammum. You take tayammum. And with that, you must also rub over the jabir. It's called the jabira. Al mashu ala al jabira. Rubbing over what covers your flesh and the water can't reach underneath. So inshallah, that mas'ala we'll discuss next week, because I thought it was a short mas'ala which I knew, but 90% of the facts I didn't know. I knew only the good outline. But an interesting discussion. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Wow.